All right, here we are, worldwide live through BBS Radio online. Thank you so much for those who are joining in online. We have a bunch of people here on the phone line, and we have the phone lines open. We keep chatting around for a bit. Every time you hear a ding, that's somebody joining in on the conference call.
Anyway, that lady just got better and better until she got so much better that her husband wheeled her to the garden outside, and that's what she did, and she healed completely, you know, just to be positive and looking at beautiful thing and nature and everything else. She healed herself. So. And I know the other one that he was in pain and everything. He was just looking at those Three Stooges movie, you know, those funny movie, and he healed himself, laughing. Laughing. It's a good medicine, too. Not too many people online today.
No, there's no announcement email yet for tonight's call. That usually is makes a difference.
I'm glad. I lost my paper. I don't know what I did, but I had wrote it down on my address book, so I'm glad. So I'm going to be able to call.
Hey, Joe, did Wynn send an email?
He said no.
Yeah, Joe said I just asked her, and he said he sent one as a call open mic tonight.
Okay, I haven't received it yet. We had somebody else joining in over here. Oh, thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Michael in Reno, California.
Hey, Mike, how are you doing?
I'm good, bud. How are you?
Doing well, man. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All right.
No, I didn't get no email from Wynn.
It goes in, and you know, it does not go out all at the same time. I guess it goes in. We had two more people join in to the conference call. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Anna from Kent, Washington.
Hello. Hey, Anna. How are you?
Very good. And you?
All right. Fantastic. Thank you for being here. And we had somebody else joining in. I welcome you. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Carla in Okotoks, Alberta.
Hi, Carla. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
All right, good. Do you have to use this alternative phone number again to get in today, or?
No, just for Sunday calls.
Only for just Sunday, okay. But I'm glad it's working out for you.
Thank you very much. That was so good yesterday.
Okay, great. All right, and in the meantime, I want to thank also those people who are joining in. I cannot see you. I cannot hear anything when you come in on BBS online, but I know people are joining in, and I welcome you all, and thank you for being here. As you know, this is a simulcast with a conference call, so we have some people here live on the show who speak up through the phone. And I see somebody else joined in on the conference line. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Good evening. Hi, this is Eric in Santa Fe.
Hi, Eric. Good evening to you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
All right. Settled in Santa Fe?
Oh, yeah. All settled and getting ready for spring.
Great.
Oh, I want to talk to you guys.
Is that Julia?
Hey, good evening and welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, 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 everybody.
Good evening, hey, Don. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
All right. Being here.
Thanks.
I welcome the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Good evening. Hi, it's Joel in Chicago.
Hello, Joel. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. And how are you?
Fantastic. Thank you for being here.
Hey, Joel.
Busy. I looked at the clock.
Yeah. Welcome the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Nancy in Michigan here.
Hi, Nancy. How are you doing?
Very good.
All right. Thank you for being here again.
No problem. Hope all everybody's
right.
Well.
Great. Chicago.
De nada.
All right. It's 6 o'clock. We're still waiting for the host to show up. Winfrey with his co-host Terry Brown, and I welcome those who are joining in on BBS Radio. We had another phone line come in over here. I welcome that person. If you want to, please say your name and location.
It's Todd in Chicago.
Hi, Todd. Good evening. How are you doing?
Hi. Good. How are you?
Great. Thank you for being here. And another person joined in. I welcome you. Please say your name and location.
Percy, North Carolina.
Hi, Percy. Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing well.
All right. Another line came in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. It's actually two lines. I welcome you. If you want to, please say your name and location. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Wynn.
Wynn Free. Good evening, Wynn. I'm glad you're here.
Hi, Wynn. Thank you very much.
We are live on BBS Radio. Welcome all those people who are joining in online, and we have a bunch of people on the phone line. And at 6:01, I will turn off the entry and exit sign from the conference call. All right, that settles. Do I see Terry Brown on the line?
Yes.
Hi. Hello, Terry.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
Hi. I'm doing good. Hi.
All right. So glad to have you here again.
Thank you. Did Wynn come in yet?
No, he's not here.
He will be here momentarily.
I don't know about that. You think? No, he's here, Terry. He is here.
Oh, okay.
Thought you were setting her up, Ice.
Yeah.
Wynn's not here. Let's talk about him.
Yeah. He tricked me.
He was on the wire to the first.
We had somebody else join in on the call.
On.
Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hey, it's Susan in Delaware. Hello, everyone.
Hello, Susan. Good evening to you.
Meow.
Hi, Susan.
Hey.
Meow. Meow.
All right, and welcome all the cats. Being here. Long. So,
welcome to the ducks.
I think we are going to get the show going. If Wynn is not going to speak up, then we will, Terry and I.
And the cats.
Yeah. I'm invited as well.
Y'all cats be quiet. You're getting my 400-pound canary all excited.
That was funny.
Another phone line came in. I saw that. Welcome to the call. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Cindy.
Hi, Cindy. How are you doing?
Hi, Cindy Gloria.
Right.
Go ahead, Marilyn.
It's Marilyn in Pittsburgh.
Good evening, Marilyn. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Hi, how are you?
Great. Thank you. All right. All right.
Is this where the Jeopardy music plays?
What's that?
I said, isn't this where the Jeopardy music plays?
Mm-hmm. Terry, did you listen to Coast to Coast last night?
No, I didn't. What was on?
Some guy named Jeffrey Dougherty is talking about an idea he had about Jesus and Paul. Pretty interesting.
I heard it.
Oh,
well,
you know.
Great.
Yeah, it was interesting, wasn't it?
It was great.
I have it on in the background. Was he talking about Paul not being one of the apostles or something?
Sort of like that. He said he was, yeah, kind of like that. He said he had a political motivation and kind of tried to twist Jesus' teachings in order to keep the controlling powers going. I was curious to see what Dr. Terry Friedman would have to say about that.
You know, I read the Dr. Friedman's book, but it's quite interesting. You will enjoy that.
Uh-huh.
And what it said is that Paul was all the time, he was walking around with his sword, and he wanted to, sort of, you know, he had the intention to power people, and, well, he wanted to go the political route.
Uh-huh.
You know, get rid of the Romans, and he wanted to, you know, not use words, but use swords.
Yeah, it sort of corroborates what that guy was saying last night, I'd say.
Yeah.
And are you guys ready?
We're having our own thing here.
You're sounding interesting.
With the cat.
Is that Dan Herman?
Yeah. I win.
Okay, we're having the Don Herman and Hyatt show tonight.
Yeah, I'm out of things to say now. I'm going to take over.
You're what?
You got to take over. I'm out of things to say.
sounds interesting.
We were talking about Coast to Coast guests.
We have to have Terry Friedman on again.
Yeah,
we should have a Coast to Coast conference call for people that listen to Coast that want to just discuss it.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's very interesting. And
not Don?
Yeah.
You want to run it?
No, that probably would be a bad idea. It's supposed to go to my continuing education.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let us start. All right. Hello, everybody. Oh, wait. I should start the recording, huh?
I'm muted. Be muted.
Yeah.
Ready?
Ready. Well, I'm not ready.
This conference is being recorded.
Hey, this is March 7th, 6:08 p.m.
April.
Pacific time.
April.
April 7th. April 7th. Thank you. Hi, this is what happens when you go timeless, right? Terry's worse than me. Actually, she's not. I'm worse than Terry. Okay? Who's laughing?
Me.
Actually, we both have our own special worstnesses. Okay?
Yes, we do.
And I'm worse in certain areas, and she's worse in other areas. Okay?
And my phone has its own special worstness.
And it
cuts off sometimes in the middle of talking, but says there's no service available.
Yeah. Did you notice on Sunday I didn't get cut off at the end this Sunday? No, I don't know if you all have noticed, those of you who are coming to our Sunday calls, and if you're not, you should be. Well, I don't want to say you should, but
you're missing out on something, because I think the Sunday calls have the most strongest energy on the call of connection with other dimensions. And it's designed, the call is specially designed to do that. And it developed over time. Believe me, I could have never imagined that we could actually do what we do on our Sunday call. But it developed over time, and you can know something's happening, not because I say it, but because you can feel it, you can see the little miracles that occur, you know, and it's a slow burn. And if you're not attending the Sunday calls, please try them, because every time you come into one of these calls and you have a shift inside of yourself, you are helping yourself. I believe this is the way it works. I've watched it work. Helping yourself lift over some of your old patterns that have been contracting you. And because even, you know, you've been watching Terry and myself, and certainly you've seen us do that right in front of you. We're doing it. We're not the same people, say, 3 years ago who were doing these calls. Or the calls are not the same calls. It's like it's a group interaction, and it's hard to explain it until you're in the flow of it. It's like, I can get it. I can feel it. I can see what he means. So it's a great opportunity, and I hope that you, many of you are taking it, going through the archives. It's not that we have something so important to say, although we do. It is important things to say. But we are establishing a flow, a law of one flow, right here on the call that you're tapping into, and you're learning how to bring that flow into your life, so that you create a shift in your life that matches the energies. And the thing about that shift is you cannot do it through willpower. You can't say, okay, change. It's not the kind of shift that works that way. It has to come from a rebirthing of your nature, of your of an integration of energies and letting go of those habits. And we are in the middle of a dimensional shift. And things are changing, and things that I was writing about 12 and 13 years ago are changing. And it's interesting, because one of my old songs that, I mean, God knows, I can't believe I wrote this. It's like, I thought I'd play it because it is so apropos. Some of you may have heard it before, but I can't believe I wrote this when I did. And, I mean, I was writing songs and it was just so obvious to me. And this is like, you know what song I'm going to play, Terry? Hello, Terry?
No, I don't know. I'm guessing what it might be.
Here we go.
Rainbow message.
Did you guys hear that? Did you hear the lyrics?
Yes.
Sorry about all my out of key singing, but gotta take the good with the bad. But everything you touch becomes a part of you, and you know what that means. We've touched each other. We're part of each other. We've touched the Ra group. We're part of the Ra group. We're touched the Elohim group. We're part of that group. We become friends. We become partners. We become co-creators. And we're learning how to do it together because there's no blueprint. There's no instruction manual on how to do that. And here we are on planet Earth sailing along, and we've changed our timeline. We are, you know, those group souls, particularly the Elohim, talk about how at the higher dimensions, the speed of light is no longer a limitation. It's only a limitation in 3D. So if you can imagine that there's part of you here on Earth time and part of you spinning around going so fast you can't imagine it. Uh-oh, I got everybody still unmuted. And it's all happening at the same time. It's one of the reasons that many of you have experienced coming on these calls, and it feels like time moves at a different speed than this call. It's because those energies are integrating into the call, and you're getting it. And you know, the chances are, if you're one of the people that keeps coming back to the calls, you're having that experience. And the other people think, when is one going to stop talking? This is boring. And they're not having that experience. They don't come back. So it's self corrects itself. People that are meant to feel it, to hear it. And of course, the reason you keep coming back is because we're telling you things that you already knew, but you didn't have it at the forefront of your consciousness. And when you hear it, it just goes click, 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 click. That makes sense. I get it. That makes sense. And it starts bringing it to the forefront of your consciousness, and you start speeding up your energy. That doesn't mean you all have it right. I mean, I got an email from somebody who's probably listening, and I wanted to comment on it because it's so important. And should I read the email? Well, you know, we live in a world where there are so many different inputs. And one of the things that happens in the world of variation is that words become buzzwords. And when the word is first used, it's not a buzzword. It is just, wow, what an interesting way of describing something. And then when it becomes a buzzword, everybody starts to use that word, and for one reason, it makes them be part of the in-group, because it's kind of an in-group word. And for another reason, some people are making money, because people are going to think they're one of the people that are into this. So it's almost invariable that after something becomes a buzzword, it starts to be negative, and you have to be really careful about thinking that everyone that uses that word has the same intent or the same idea. For example, ascension, dimensional shift. When I wrote The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, man, it was the first time I had ever I knew the word ascension, but certainly the first time I heard of dimensional shift and you know, the word ascension was not a typical big word out there. But now, you know, there's a subculture that's using that all over the place. And people are doing seminars on DNA activation and ascension things and getting through the portals. And you know what? You have to decide what's legitimate and what's not. You know, you can't ask me. You have to decide even if I'm legitimate and if I'm not. Because I don't want anyone... part of the trip here in this realm is to have discernment and not to give up your power. And it's easy to participate in a group mind, and then websites kind of correlate, and they're all supporting something. And like December 21st, 2012, how many people are capitalizing on that date and that getting a lot of attention and get ready? And then it came and it went. Of course, we asked our sources, and they said it was going to come and go. It was a high point in energy, but most of us can't even feel low points in energy. We're just learning how to feel energies, but many of us on this planet are learning to be stable, stabilize ourselves. And one of the things about our calls is it's holding a consistent center point of energy and focus so that it keeps us from going astray. And it's holding it because you're holding it, I'm holding it, Terry's holding it, and our sources are holding it with us on the line. We have created an integration between realms. If there's somebody new on the line and they don't know what I'm talking about, let's come back for a while. Go study our material or listen to the archives, and you'll start to get the feel of it. Because it took me a while to believe it. And so, you know, anything, I mean, one of my rules of thumb, and this is not 100% to be believed, as you still need to apply your discernment, but one of my rules of thumb is that anything that talks about something in the future happening and causing you to look forward to that happen, to create a certain kind of release, has to be looked at with a bit of a jaded eye, because it's been my opinion that everything that points that way is not positive. Most things, I say most things that point that way are not positive. I don't want to say everything. And that the negative, what we call the negative agenda, is to keep people focused in lower level timelines so they don't empower themselves. Because once you move through the veil and you empower yourself, and then you create intentions with the higher group souls as your partners, becomes really powerful. Like, you know, there's 10 times more positive on the other side than there is negative. Now, I don't know that, but that's what they say. But it makes sense to me. And that all they need to do is be asked, because they honor the free will. The negative doesn't have to be asked. They do whatever they can to cajole, trick, fool, you know, whatever, to get in the door. Channel, tell lies, act like they're the positive. They're experts at it. And they're doing it because there's ET groups that are trying to take over our planet. And they work from the other side, and they're really advanced. And when we talk about the secret societies behind those, there's channeling. There's channeling of negative sources. We talk about Hitler. Hitler was into a cult. He was definitely having channelings around his space. I know for a fact I met people who channel, who were channeling inside of major churches, who quit because they thought it was negative. So channeling is not a good way of validating anything. And if you notice that when we channel, we're usually channeling, first of all, they don't usually say anything's going to happen in the future. Second of all, there's an energy on the line. It's not just ideas. It's not just hope. It's not just, oh, you beautiful children of light. There's an energy, and there's a real friendship. That's the way it feels to me. And that they're so delighted to have a group of people like us that can hold a pure enough intent to bring them in here and not corrupt it. That's what I think. I hope we're not corrupting it. I don't think so. And they do nothing to disempower anyone. And they don't create, if you notice, they're pretty square in their answers. If you listen to our Wednesday question and answer call, they don't patronize people. They don't always tell people what they want to hear. They tell it pretty much front and center. And I've noticed a lot of people that do readings, they tend to want to tell people what people want to hear so they please them. So they come back and they tell them more of what they want to hear. So, one of the things that I had read, and I got to tell you where I read this. I said this before, but I'm going to say it again. In 2002, I was with DK, and we were in a metaphysical bookstore in Encinitas, California. And, of course, I was just having my first experiences of communicating with other dimensions. And I was probably 2 or 3 months into it. And we went into the store, and she made a beeline to the shelf. Now, everyone's going to want to write this down. When I tell you, you're probably not going to understand it, but it's interesting. She took a book off the shelf and said, "They want you to read this." The book was called Voyagers 2. And we bought it. And I started reading it, and I said, "Man, I don't understand this. This is tough reading." And then I got to a place, there were a number of places where I could understand it. And a lot of it, I had to go back and reread it and reread it and reread it. And that's a lot of people's experiences. Some people read it so many times and they still didn't understand it. Let me see if I have it here. Man, I should have prepared I wasn't going to read from that book. But in that book, here's one of the things that immediately caught my eye. And here's the book. All right, I found it. They were talking about the Ra group. Now, in the year 2002, nobody heard of the Ra group. Carla Ruckert is not very well known, except for the people that discovered her. I don't think that this woman who channeled this material knew who Carla Ruckert was. I don't think so. And yet, there's this one paragraph in there. Due to the Templar and Templar Axiom seals, the concept of soul harvesting became part of many religious teachings. Soul harvesting referred to souls bearing the Templar seals being brought by one of the helper organizations before the Ra Confederacy for review, at which time those souls deemed safe for transit to Tara or higher systems would be released from the Templar seals and allowed to end the perpetual cycles of birth and rebirth on Earth. Those passing the review would have evolved to comprehension of the necessity for the Law of One and would have actively employed these principles within their present incarnation. Passing the review meant the soul would be harvested or cleared of its distortions and allowed to ascend to Tara for rebirth within the sixth and seventh races. And following its completed Taran cycles, the soul could ascend out of matter, and in some traditions, this concept became translated as Judgment Day, or similar ideas of having to pass God's test and become worthy. Well, I don't know if that blew my mind. Keep in mind, I'm just learning about Ra. I'm learning about Carla Ruckert. I'm learning about graduation. I'm getting the idea that the Ra group is very much important in our graduation from this realm. I didn't know it. I'm still trying to validate it. And then I'm getting the feeling that the Ra group was connected to Jesus. And I read this one paragraph of this book that I can barely understand. Here. Here we go. Give you an idea. I just said I can't understand. I'll read a few sentences. Templar Anu grew progressively more hostile within the territories under Syrian control, council protection, and many relocated to Atlantis, which was becoming the Templar Anu stronghold. Angered, they were not permitted to enter the inner earth or use the Ark of the Covenant. Templar Anu devised a plan to conquer the inner earth territories by using the Atlantean crystal generators to tear down the electromagnetic barriers. That's actually easy to understand. Let me just tell you, you can read it. It's called Voyagers. And like anything, you can't believe everything that's in it. And that the person that channeled it. I wouldn't know if I trusted her now, but nonetheless, that thing about the Rock Confederacy was hitting the nail exactly on the head of the things that I was figuring out at that time about the Rock Group. And many other things in this book were hitting the nail on the head. And then, I'm leading to something here, and I'm building a backup here because I'm telling you how, you know, when I say something, I'm just not pulling it out of the hat. And I got an email from somebody. I'm not going to say who she was. I'm not even going to say that it was a she, except I guess I did. Okay? But forgive me for reading it. I got good news, Wynn. The big event that will kick in the Ascension timeline, the 15th of April, 2014, in 8 days. Then, on April 25th, we are having the landing, meeting all our families from the stars and beyond. Our Father God assured us that all spaceships landing are from the Galactic Federation and are all friendly and positive. The game has started. There is a mothership, 3,000 to 5,000 miles wide, a disc one, already gave its position to the big power of the Earth, like NASA. And Homeland Security, the Cabal, knows about the ship. They are perplexed and do not know what to do. The passengers of the Flight 370 are safe in another galaxy. They will come back at the landing. The planes will be found with no one aboard underwater. But the Cabal will know exactly where the plane is under the water, because they saw the UFO close to vision of the plane that the Cabal wanted to destroy because of the magnetic beams the Rothschilds wanted for himself to kill the inventor of that weapon that was aboard all this incident happened, because the Cabal wanted to destroy the plane, and the Federation intervened to save the people. It was not in their life contract to be killed in that plane. One more thing. After April 15th, no weapons can be used, not even a gun or rifle. And they will be disabled because of the landing. Just let you know, so no one panic, and send much love and light to all that are concerned. Now, that may be true. And I hope it is, except I don't think it is. When you look at the information that's coming through there, this is like a group consciousness piece of information that's being channeled around. And it, again, starts you looking forward to something in the future and waiting, whether it's 10 days or 6 months, or waiting for Jesus to return. All those kinds of things are keeping you in a lower timeline. And how can they be positive? Because you're a net. I won't say you're met, but we are learning here how to access higher timelines. Now, Father God assures us that all spaceships landing are from the Galactic Federation. Where the heck is someone talking to Father God, and how do you know it's Father God? Okay? Because some channel says Father God says this. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying you have to take these things and not repeat them as truth. You can say, maybe that's true. But anyone that that says Father God is talking to them, who is Father God? I mean, is that Prime Creator? Is that the One Infinite Creator? Does the One Infinite Creator talk for people? As far as I can tell, not. No. As far as I can tell, the Elohim is as high as you can go. Now, are we really talking to the Elohim? I don't tell people to believe that. I say, evaluate it from a material. And I want to go back to the Voyagers book. The Voyagers book very specifically says that one of the plans of the negative is to bring people into a state of fear and deprivation on this planet, and then have a landing and have the governments welcome this landing so people will capitulate to whoever lands and voluntarily surrender to the negative. And so when we say there's a mothership that's landing, and it's like telling everybody what to do and put your guns away, it doesn't sound like our sources, does it? Because it doesn't sound like it's honoring the free will of the negative to be negative. And it's saying, like, they're coming in with big guns. So if you're following that stuff, it's okay to follow it. But do not necessarily believe anything until it happens. And if a ship lands, and no matter what's in the newspapers or on the news, because most of what's, you know, it's very difficult to figure out what's going on, because most of what's in the newspapers and in the news is being controlled. You know, that I can say with quite a bit of confidence, is being controlled and filtered according to what people, somebody's controlling it, okay? And there's, like, every big story that's in the news that gets a big splash, you owe it to yourself to go on YouTube. Okay, now write this down. Startpage.com. Startpage.com. Startpage.com allows you to browse anonymously. And if you don't want to be on NSA's list and put up tricky, you know, put up search words that makes a profile on you, a new start page, because everything that happens, you should be doing a search for that in conspiracy or something like conspiracy or NWO. Doesn't mean the trick here is that you can't believe anything. You have to find patterns because there's such a thing as disinformation where somebody that wants you to believe things puts up websites or puts up posts that they sound like they're just independent, but they're not. They're on somebody's payroll, and they're doing trend control. They're doing mind control. And they'll make comments on people who are getting paid, make comments on blogs, or write articles that get circulated, and there's no truth behind them. But, you know, it's so easy to say things that sound like they have truth behind them. And so when you're reading something, can you find references that you can validate somewhere else? Not just the same article being repeated a thousand times, which is very most often to happen. You have to find independent reference and then see if it starts to weave a pattern and think if it could be disinformation. And another question to ask is, what would the negative have to gain from putting this out as disinformation, if it's such? Sometimes we're not smart enough to figure that out. But why would the positive not land the ship? Well, the reason is, and we've asked this question, Carla has asked this question. Everyone, historically, every single time there is miraculous phenomena, whether it's Jesus, whether it was Rata in Edgar Casey's time, every time there is that kind of phenomena, people give up their power. And when you give up your power, you can't lift to the higher dimensions. It all becomes about this dimension and following the directives of whoever's landing, or following the directives of whoever, there's something I know absolutely for sure, and that is there's people that the channel or that bring through psychic information that are negative, but that doesn't mean they're not psychic. They don't have the ability to do psychic phenomena and to predict things and to even tell you your past life. And they do that, and they win you over, and before you know it, all you think about is asking them, what should we do next? What's next? And you've now given up your power to the negative, and you don't even know it. So even with the original session we did where where DK predicted a newspaper headline in advance. It's not enough to know that we're positive. Not enough. It's just an indication that we're dealing with a phenomenal source. And again, Jesus said, by your fruits you shall be known. And, you know, I see lots of love in our group. I see lots of people getting to know each other. I see wonderful energies on the line. And, you know, if that's the fruit, then we're doing good work. And, you know, apply that to everyone and everything. What is the work? Is it just making somebody a follower and giving up the power and mimicking the words and saying, Wynn says this, Elohim says this, or Carla says this? You can do that, but I don't even quote. I don't usually quote them as a way of authenticating the work we're doing, because their work authenticates itself. And I'm speaking from my own center. And that makes me good at this, because it means I'm not just like becoming a fundamentalist of the Elohim or the Ra group or David Wilcock. You know, I'm just going to say this real fast. And on flight 3 on that airplane, I don't like to dwell on these things, but it was interesting because Jerry was studying things on the internet, and somebody sent me an amazing analysis that Wilcock did of this thing, and it kind of matched what Jerry had come up with. And he said, you know, when Jerry came up with it, I thought it was pretty brilliant. He's putting together independent pieces of data. And this may not be what it was about. This is just hypothetical. But, I mean, when you go on the internet, as my friend had said, people are thinking a spaceship came in and saved everybody and blah, 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 blah. And other people say it went into the ocean. And other people say it was hijacked. And what happened to it then? And why did it disappear from the radar? Obviously, there's something untrue that's being told to us by the GOV, because a plane that size could not disappear from their tracking. If there's too many satellites, there's radar, and at least as far as I can intuit, there's no way it could disappear. Something happened, and they were able to track it. And then some of you may have read this, but there was a photo that was sent from somebody's... Again, now, everything I say, think that it may not be true. It could be disinformation. These are bits and pieces of stuff that all put together might make a continuity. But there could be disinformation here. So there was a phone call that came with a phone text came, somebody sent from a base called Garcia something in the Indian Ocean. And supposedly that base has a landing strip big enough to land the plane involved. Our government said there was no landing strip, but that base apparently does have one. And it was in proximity to where the plane disappeared, close to it. And now there is a photo sent. The photo was dark, but the latitude and longitude of the photo were carried by the photo because it was an iPhone. And it was from that base in the Indian Ocean. And it was from someone, the text was something like, "It captured us. We're imprisoned here." And he smuggled the phone in supposedly, and this is the one thing, it was an iPhone. And he smuggled it in his rear end, so he said. And I don't know how to do that. It's pretty big for a rear end. But nonetheless, shortly thereafter, that phone call and that plane disappeared, there was a conference of world leaders in Amsterdam. That's the other one, including Obama.
Vin, get your mic closer.
I must be getting very interesting here, Hive, huh?
Yes.
And supposedly, I haven't done all the research, so you can go, just use start page, okay? When you do the research on this, but supposedly there was a 777 entering the airspace of Amsterdam that was unannounced, not supposed to be there. And the Amsterdam Air Force chased it out of the airspace. Now think about that. You know, if somebody wanted to take over the world and try to create a world panic, doing something to the group of 50 leaders of countries would be a pretty bold statement to create fear and whatever. And it was, that's what David Wilcock said. Go read. I might send it out to everybody because I think it's on everybody's mind. And I don't always follow David. I don't always believe what he says just because I wrote the book. I'm not a David Wilcock groupie. There's a lot of times when I got angry with him. I thought he was totally off base. He didn't treat situations with the highest ethics. And he stopped channeling pretty much, as far as I know, then after the book came out. And he started emphasizing on politics and world affairs. And in the book, even in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, they said, David, let our messages come through. We can stop disasters on your planet. And I said, get your ego out of the way. And he let that pass. He edited everything that was in the book. And I said to myself, they can stop disasters on the planet. Get your ego out of the way. They can stop disasters. I didn't believe it at first. I said, can they really stop disasters? So, you know, once the book came out, David and I went 180 degrees. He wanted nothing to do with me or being Edgar Cayce, although it certainly set the stage for a huge success on him. And he's been focusing on politics and insider information and the law of one. Always, he's never given up his dedication to Carla Ruckert's law of one material. So today when I read his post, and, you know, many times he's posted things and he's been completely wrong. I mean, he's said we're going to have disclosure in 2009, and that some of them sound like crazy. Maybe it's true. I don't know, but I don't believe stuff easily. You know, another one was in China, there was a, what do you call them? Dojo society of 100,000 people that was going to go in and raid all the people in ninja society. 100,000 or a million Chinese ninjas were going to protect the world. Now, maybe that's true. I hope it's true. But, you know, when I looked for the follow-up of it, it just died out, okay? Maybe they're waiting in the background to show up. I mean, it's like I just don't look for something to happen to save us, and whether it's aliens or ninjas. And I say, if I'm sitting in a position that something seems to be happening, I'll evaluate it in the moment, but not sit and wait and second guess on what's going to happen. And there's a huge amount of material, huge amount of websites, and some of you read them over and over again about what's going to happen in the world and what is happening. Ashtar Command. Okay, Ashtar Command is a source channels through, there's probably hundreds of people getting messages from Ashtar Command saying there's a fleet of spaceships that are coming in that are with Jesus at the head and Archangel Michael at his side and Commander Ashtar. And There's a million, you know, 100,000 or a huge amount of spaceships around the Earth just waiting to make their move. And when I asked a question about it, the answer was that it was a giant computer sending messages to a lot of people, an organic computer interfacing. And guess what? I did a search on Astar computer, and I found at least two other people who came up with that same wild explanation. It was a computer. So now we have computers radiating psychic signals so that people here on the planet can pick them up and read it back, and we think it must be true because it's coming from 100 people. And if you haven't looked up Astar Command, you will notice that if you hear our sessions, there's great loving energy. There's not a loving energy. It's not a mean energy. It doesn't sound mean, but it's not a vibration to the energy in those sessions. And a lot of people are very vehement about believing that's happening. Now, I'm not going to say it's not going to happen. I'm going to say, I'll just sit here. What does it have to do with what I'm going to do today? Okay? I could get on here, and there's people that do this. They say, we're just sitting here waiting for the spaceships to land. And how is that going to help people grow? How is that going to help people connect with spirit? When the Ra group landed in Egypt, when they showed bodies in Egypt, everybody gave up their power, and then the negative took it over, and it became, you know, the Ra group said that was one of the worst things they did in their connection to our planet, and they're still making amends and reparations for the way that screwed people up. Although, on the surface, it sounds great. They came and they did healings. They helped build temples of healing. No, read about it. It's in Edgar Casey. Just look up Edgar Casey, Rata. And you read about Carla Rucker, and they say, not good. It wasn't good. So, in any case, we're about to finish. I didn't do everything I intended to talk about, but I did want to talk about that because I want you not to get misled. I want you guys to be sure. I want you to be questioning. I want you, just because people use words like Elohim or ascension or love, to make sure that love is present. Because otherwise, you know, no matter what you feel and what you're getting now, you could be drastically fooled later. And you've got to start developing your sharp edge. And not be passive, but be actively questioning everything, including us. And on that note,
Ben, you talked about Voyagers 2. Can you say anything about Voyagers 1?
I didn't read it.
Shame on you.
That's the book that came off the shelf. But, you know, Voyagers 2 is a little scary. I mean, you know, it's like she talks about all the agendas on the other side, about how the Greys are trying to take over the Earth, the plans to do it. And, you know, when I've heard her talk, I wasn't necessarily completely impressed with how she spoke. But there was enough in Voyagers 2 that made me think, especially in 2002, when I was a novice,